morning, church. Well, we've been focusing on the first book of the Bible, Genesis, for the past several weeks, and today we're going to be focusing on the first book of the New Testament. So please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and we'll be focusing on verses 23 to 32. This is what it says. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believed him.'" All right, that's a good one. They're all good. But pastor titled this morning's message, "The Right or the Wrong Change of Mind. They go before you into the kingdom of God." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning.
Good morning!
It is indeed a good morning because Christ lived not as a hypocrite. As a man, he lived a sincere and true faith for his entire life here on earth. And we too are called to live as he did, as sincere believers in what he did in his life, death, and resurrection, in obedience to him. Today we begin a 3-sermon series titled "Making the Right Choices, Guarding Against Hypocrisy." The subject of this series is that all human beings are drawn to hypocrisy, and that Christians need to guard against this hypocrisy by making choices that are consistent with what they profess to believe. When we say that we believe something and then live differently than what we say we believe, we are a hypocrite. The word hypocrite means simply actor or pretender. Essentially, a hypocrite is a liar and a deceiver. What they appear to be on the outside is not what they are inside. What they say they are is not what they are in their heart. And only those who repent of their hypocrisy will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those whose faith is real in their hearts will be saved. Sincere belief in the gospel that moves us to live out what we believe is required for us to know Jesus and receive forgiveness and salvation from hell. If our belief is sincere in Christ, it will result in obedience to God. Hypocrisy is deadly serious, and we must guard against it. Thus, these three sermons over the next 3 weeks about it. So let us pray and get right into our text today. What Jesus has to say about this is more important than anything I would have to say about it. So let's pray. Dear Lord, Father, it is true that all of us, before we were Christians, we were hypocrites. Father, we often said we wanted to live a certain way or do certain things, but we really didn't mean it in our hearts, Father, because we did not love you. We did not love Jesus. And even though we might say we want to do good, we would not want to point people to Jesus, Father. We only wanted to point people to our own self-righteousness and the goodness we wanted them to think that we have, Father. It was always all about us, ultimately, whatever good things we might have done, because we did not give you the credit for what we did, Father, if we did anything relatively good at all, Father. But when we became Christians, we began to say and profess that everything we've done is about you, Father, that you are the one causing us to do anything good if we do it, and we ourselves are wretched and sinful and evil at heart, Father. And if there's any good in our life, it's because of you, because of what Christ has done. That's what we profess as Christians. That's what we claim, that there is no good in us, but there is so much great good in you, and you change our hearts, Father, and you move our hearts to be like Christ. And it is not because of us, Father. There is no place for pride in the Christian life, Father. And that is what we deal with today in this sermon, Father. Jesus condemned the pride of the religious leaders of the Jews in his day, Father. Help us. Help us not to be like them, Father. Help us not to be like we are naturally in our sinful hearts, Father, for we really are a lot like them naturally, Father. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be humbled and we can defeat the pride in our hearts and love you sincerely from a heart that knows our place, Father, and our place is beneath you, Father, as our God. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 21:23, we see Jesus entering the temple, coming to teach. And when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus here is having a conversation with the chief priests and the elders of the people here in this passage. We can assume that the scribes and the Pharisees are included in this group. Jesus has spent a large part of his ministry, which has been highlighted in the Gospel of Matthew up until this point, condemning the self-righteous hypocrisy of the leadership of the Jewish people. Jesus himself is Jewish. In fact, he is the Jewish king and the Jewish Messiah. The Old Testament scriptures all have been pointing to him and his coming. So these men who are coming to question the authority of Jesus are also questioning the authority of the Word of God. By rejecting the authority of Jesus, they are rejecting God's authority, because Jesus has been given his authority by God the Father. Of course, Jesus is also God himself. But since the scriptures may have been difficult to interpret at this point, at the very least, they should have accepted the authority of Jesus because he was the promised Messiah and King. They should have known that much. But by rejecting Jesus' authority, they were rejecting God's word. God's word is what gave Jesus his authority. So Jesus had come to them and pointed them to God the Father and demanded that they obey God. He had condemned their behavior and essentially labeled them all hypocrites because they were self-righteous and proud leaders who had a lot of knowledge but little to no obedience to God. These leaders of Israel demanded a lot from the people that they led. They placed great burdens on them. But in their actions and their hearts, they had no love for God or for their neighbor at all. Therefore, they hated Jesus. The irony is that the reason they hated him is because they thought he was very proud. But they were the ones filled with pride, and Jesus was actually a very humble man as he lived on earth. Jesus spent most of his time with people who were not esteemed by others, and he often praised those people for their great faith. But then he went and challenged the people who were most esteemed and asked them to repent of their sins. But Jesus had love and patience for all. Yet, recognized that self-righteousness and pride needed to be confronted for the sake of those who were humble. And confronting pride was one of the most loving things that Jesus ever did, because in confronting it, he was giving those who were proud the opportunity to repent and come to God for forgiveness so that they might avoid judgment. So Jesus enters the temple and begins to teach the people, as Jesus often did. Jesus is a teacher of the people. He is famous at this point for his amazing sermons that he gave. Jesus teaches the people with an authority that was greater than these leaders of Israel. Jesus would explain the Old Testament scriptures in a way which they could not, and he spoke as someone who represented God. There have been other men like Jesus in this respect, prophets and leaders, men like Moses, Elijah, King David, and many others. But of course, the way Jesus spoke was even greater than all of these men because he was explaining his own scriptures. The Bible is his word.